Welcome to Art on Fringe. I'm Vulcan, and together with my co-host Kamfani, we dive into the raw side of creativity. This podcast is about art without limits, art that questions, art that pushes back, art that shows us who we are. Every episode, we sit with artists from around the world to talk about their journey, their struggles, and the stories behind their work. It's not just about galleries and pretty pictures. It's about freedom, vulnerability, and the power of creating. Welcome back to Art Unframed. This is season 2. We are going to be opening today with a powerful conversation. And today we are joined by two amazing artists, Aida Studio and Maria Mindo. Together, we will be diving into a topic that is bold, honest, and maybe sometimes controversial. We'll be talking about art, nudity, and censorship. And we'll be talking about how rules and restrictions shape creativity and what freedom really means when your canvas is your skin. So first of all, I'm going to kind of like keep this light by starting with your journey as an artist. I would like the both of you to kind of like tell us about yourself. First of all, I would like to start with Aida.
Okay. I hope I don't take too much time because there are too many details within my journey. I will start with the end, actually. I mean, the present. Therefore, I'm just a photographer in Web3 right now. I even ended all the contracts I had with various companies or agencies or events within Web3, like Art Splash Gallery and NFT Bucharest and Meta Ventis, with which I was writing newsletters and organizing NFT Bucharest and so on. And I think I will not take any other commission next, but I will just stick to my photography because I have even bigger plans with it. And except what I mentioned, I launched a photography album since I'm here, and many collections. One of them was quite big, 100 one-to-ones, which sold out in 3 weeks. This keeps going. And before being in Web3, I have been doing photography for about 10 years plus. And since 2015, I'm working mostly with people. I have been working also with a therapist within my work, because my aim through my photography, even if it's nude or not, is to restore people's self-image. So we are basically reminding the people we are working with their worth, however they are, and that they are on a journey. You know, it's not the end right now, even if you don't really appreciate yourself in this moment, in this specific moment. And even so, working with us, they are realizing that, okay, is this me? Can I look like this? Wow, I've never been a model, so how come that, I look like this in your work? So I think that's the inspiration, and that's also my mission. My photography album is called I Never Saw Myself This Way, for the same specific reason. It's basically a translation of their reaction when they see the results that we are having after the photo session. And I think it's very important also to mention that the people I work with, they are not professional models. Like, that happens rarely. And even so, the models are either retired or they were going through some specific sad or challenging situations. So, yeah, I think it's enriching starting with myself and with them, and then I believe even if it's about nudity, it's still an education tool for me, the art. You know, it's soul education, is social context education, is self-worth education. Because we live in a society which pretends to be free and pretends to give us the absolute freedom and democracy and all that bullshit in the end. But we know our reality is way better than the mass media is portraying them. And we do know that we are feeling stressed and repressed and, you know, negative about how our skin looks like and how maternity looks like, and I don't know, how our hair or gray hair should look like, and all these things, you know, like all these limits and all the push on the market for, you know, makeup commercials or, yeah, it's a lot. So, okay, let's say that's my journey, like the actual journey within my art, because I want to stop here because the rest is even longer than this. But yeah, I did study many things and had lots of jobs around the globe, living in many countries. But now I'm just a photographer in Web3, and thank you so much for listening. And I promise next answer will be way shorter.
Yeah, it's okay, Aida. Thank you. You've got like a very interesting journey when you're sharing, especially from when you were a curator in Bucharest. I remember being like one of the artists that was kind of like curated there. That was last year. And then your book that you kind of like published recently, the I Never Saw Myself This Way, which is very interesting. I'm going to be talking about that as well. It's just like very interesting journey, especially your work, which is really amazing. How was your experience as well, Maria? Can you tell us a bit about your journey?
Hi again. Yep, sure. I've always called myself an artist with many faces, just because for many years I used my iPad for illustration, and I drew in different styles, like very different styles, and now I think I've stopped on photography. I started like a self-portrait photographer, and when I got pregnant, I decided to try something else, like to move a little bit, and I started to work with models, like photographer, and I really enjoy it, and I hope soon I will come back to self-portraits too. So, a little bit shorter than Aida. But yeah, this is my way in this space. I'm here 4 years, almost 5 years, I think.
Yeah, thank you, Maria. I really love yours, those self-portraits and your work in Tosa. It's really lovely, especially there was one I kind of like saw as one of your spotlighting Instagram, the one you kind of like did with while you were kind of like holding a child. Your child, it was kind of like very powerful, like it spoke in different ways. It was kind of like your headline. I think you kind of like posted it like recently as well. Your self-portraits, your work in total, your body of work is really interesting. And going further, like into the journey of the both of you, I want to first start with you, Aida. Like your book, I Never Saw Myself This Way, is a very powerful title. What made you come up with that title? And yeah, just tell me, what was your thought process in the title?
Thanks for the question. I think I included it in my first answer. It's basically a more artistic translation of people's reaction. As for many of them, it's the first time they are being models. They really don't know what to expect, or they are not confident in the fact that we'll have at least reasonable results. And I do believe we do have amazing results. So then they lean into that also, and their surprise and, their shock or their amusement and being pleased and, feeling happy about it, inspired me to give that that name to the album. Yes.
I actually really, really love your work, and I like how you said your book connects to like real life people seeing themselves and like being amazed at how they could like look like and how they look like basically after you photograph them. And I love that aspect of photography because we kind of, as photographers, we kind of bring out the beauty to people. And I feel like I've always wanted to like take some nude portrait of myself. Like I've always wanted to do that. Like I don't think I've like had confidence to do that yet, just yet. So I wanted to ask you guys here, what drew you guys to like nude photography? Because it's not really the conventional photography that people tend to lean into. So like what drew you guys into that? If you can just like anybody can like answer first. So like I just want to know like what caught your eye, what took your interest into doing nude photography.
Maya, do you want to answer, please? Because I just spoke.
Okay, no problem. Actually, in this space, like in NFT, I found a very, very talented artist who inspired me. And when I saw her work, I was shocked that nude art could be so different, like not vulgar or obscene or something like erotic maybe. And that's when I decided to experiment with my body, to start to trying to do something very, very gentle, very tender. And I think thanks for this space, I decided to try nude photography. I don't know why nude, because I think it always being something inside me, like love to body, to take picture, and it just and now it's nude photography here, and I'm really happy about it.
I will complete Maria with her tenderness idea. And in my case, I think I also wanted to prove a point to the people I'm working with again, because of those restrictions that we were mentioning, and usually people feel more confident if their speech and their body is covered, right? Like if even ourselves, we are censoring ourselves because that's how we were educated under the family, religion, society, school kind of protocol, right? Like don't be too loud, don't be too naked, don't put too much makeup, but put some makeup, don't go outside like that, don't speak back to me. It was everything with all these don'ts. So then I was thinking, physically, emotionally, mentally, and so on, it would be nice to take away all these layers. And I believe once you are standing nude and naked in front of someone, you are also emotionally represented like that, because you are in your most vulnerable physical form, you can find yourself in front of someone, right? And except that, I like our shapes, men and women. I work with men too. So, but yeah, this is an interesting point because men are less open to it, even if we are all kind of pointing fingers at them, you know. And I have realized that they are even less confident than us when it comes to the self-image, because maybe women, we are sort of empowering each other when we come together within these kind of relationships. But when a man has to stay nude and naked in front of me, it's like, oh, but like, you know, I never did this. It's even more awkward for them. But yeah, they still do it under the same amazement. Yes, please.
Yeah, I wanted to say that. I was even going to ask you as a question, yeah, how you said the human body is beautiful and you want to like capture the beauty of the human body. Because like it's hard, like I don't think I really see photographs of men, nude photographs of men. Like it's really hard to like see. So I wanted to ask, like, is there like when you see or when you want to photograph those men in this intimate nude model, when you want to take them nude photographs, basically, is there like a way you make them make them feel that it's okay to be vulnerable? It's okay for you to take their picture. Like it's all right for them to be vulnerable in this moment as you're taking their picture, because most men I've met are not really will I say all right with being vulnerable, especially in front of a woman that is holding a camera. So like, is there a way you make them feel that it's okay for them to be vulnerable when you want to take pictures of them, basically?
I have the same process with everyone. It doesn't matter if they're women or men, because I believe our vulnerability comes from the same place, right? I believe it's influenced by the same factors. It's how you are raised. If you are raised with self-confidence or not, it depends on the society you grew up in. And in the end, you know, you are still a person. And of course, I didn't study this in depth when it comes to social groups or nationalities or religious aspects. I think then we would see a difference, but that would be more like a social study, and I would need way more time to be able to answer this. But yeah, I have the same process. I'm just explaining them what's my aim, why I'm doing this, and how the things will happen. We usually even meet before the shooting, right? We go for a coffee or tea or something, and I show them my work so they know what to expect. So they will understand that it's nothing, you know, unpolite or outrageous or like too sexualized. So then I think they're relaxing, and once they understand my motivation, they are even willing and looking forward to collaborate.
Oh, okay. And honestly, I would not have looked at it as just us being that vulnerability comes from the same place for both genders. I would say I'm of the opinion that women are more vulnerable than men. But like now that you've like opened my eyes to see that actually vulnerability comes from the same place, I actually now have a different view of it. And I wanted to ask here, what do you feel like your art is about, except from the obvious that it's nude art? Like when we look at it, the first glance is nude, it's people standing naked, it's you taking pictures of people. Like what's your art to you? Like what would you describe your art as if I should ask you, oh, like what is the deeper meaning of your artwork? Aida, you can go first, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, as As even my logo says, I'm at least trying to restore people's self-image. I have to move away from the window just a second because I'm cold. I'm only 10 degrees here. Okay, so restoring people's self-image, proving a point that nudity is not really something to be scared of or run away from, because in the end, that means you are just running away from yourself. I'm not saying that everyone should be my model, you know, that's not the case. But at least take some time in the mirror and just, like, look at yourself, you know, like, you live in this body, or the body represents you here, you know. And I think it's basically about being awakened into self-love. Even, again, no matter in what society you live, and no matter by what rules you want to live, even, you know, social ones or religious ones, just love yourself, you know. Like, I think if people are happy with themselves, then we would see even less conflict outside, like conflict within us, you know. Like, if we are calm, we don't really look through a negative filter towards the others, but we look with understanding. So that's why it's all this, like, restoring people's self-image is not only the physical image, but about everything, right? Like, how, like, if you respect yourself, it's way easier to understand the others and respect their point of view, respect their situation they are going through, or respect their decisions. And all this would lead to a more healthy society. So I think that's what my work is about, actually. And even many of my shots are, can't even be considered nude photography. I mean, it's, you know, it's just a collarbone or the back, or, you know, it's something that you would see even in a summer dress, let's say. But yeah, it's about confronting yourself with all these aspects of life, of living.
Oh, okay. I feel like I understand what you're saying, because personally, I'm a big advocate of self-love. And I feel like the first step to, like, respect generally and kindness comes from a place of self-love. If you love yourself, you're if you love yourself enough, it's enough for you to extend your hand to love other people and treat them with kindness. So, like, I totally go with the fact that you're trying to restore people's self-image of themselves, because I feel like people these days lack confidence, self-confidence, they lack self-love, and it's wonderful to, like, see what you're trying to do. And I feel like even with listening to how you express and talk about the human body, I feel like it might be time for me to actually love myself enough to get that nude photograph of myself done. Maria, could you, like, tell us what you think about your art and what you try to express with your art, as outside of it being, like, nude photograph and us just seeing that nude photograph? What do you, like, express? As we all know that art is a form of self-expression, so, like, I would like you to, like, tell us what your art is talking about.
First of all, Aida, so sorry that you needed to talk a lot, just because Leo is quiet, and I need to calm down him. And now I'm here, I'm back. For me, nudity is the language of nature. It's like we come in this world naked. That's how nature created us. And that's why I feel such a strong connection with this in my work, with nature. It's both vulnerability and strength at the same time for me. Most often when someone comes to a nudity photo shoot, they are like fighting an inner battle with their own insecurities, and afterward They feel incredibly empowered because they overcome it. And I really love witnessing those emotions. It's like something wow when people open something new for themselves.
Thank you, Maria. I really think that the both of you have a very interesting viewpoint on how you kind of like express your work and what you feel people should what people should feel when they look at your work. You really kind of like answered that question well. Especially Aida, when you kind of like talked about like restoring the image of someone. I really felt that point. And then Maria, when you kind of like talked about the like nudity being a form of expression, like I really felt the both of your viewpoints about just that question. So thank you. Going further into this, I wanted to say like how do you think like censorship affects your craft, and how do you kind of like manage it? Anyone can.
Yeah, I will answer. Oh, Maria, go ahead. If Leo is calm now, just please go first.
I think that censorship is just another sign that people are still used to see nudity as something probably like pretty erotic, maybe. I don't know how to find right word for this. And unfortunately, we can't like apply a filter like show only certain kinds of nudity art. Of course, there is a different nude art here. So I've gotten used to blurring some of my photos and living in pseudo bands here. It's fine. That means I have to fight harder for attention to my work, to be louder, brighter, and be like everywhere. So it's both like a plus and minus for us, I think.
Thank you, Maria. I wanted to kind of like also kind of like ask, like, when you're kind of like submitting your works for galleries and things like that, how do you kind of like put it in a way that would get it accepted by those galleries that have this particular type of censorship rules?
I just remember it one gallery in probably in France, and when people came to gallery like naked to see naked art, nude art, and I think this is like awesome idea to fight with censorship. And of course now I'm trying to find a gallery who will be ready to show nude art, and I don't know, maybe I will like rent some room and do some exhibitions with my works. But yes, to trying to show our works public, it's hard.
Do you also kind of like face that type of challenge as well, Aida?
Actually, I have a different answer than Maria, because the censorship on this platform, I think, is done with a purpose. There are few more things behind this, not purely about nudity, as we have heavily porn accounts you know, like which are thriving here. So I don't think it's really about that. And as the algorithm is kind of like AI trained, I have no idea what they train it on, that the beautiful fine art, nude art is censored and the rest not. So I really didn't find an answer here. So maybe it's not related to the content, even if we are feeling like they are targeting us. But on the other hand, I did have a couple of times two works which went viral and I had like 2 million views on them. So, and they were nude. So I think that my answer is still unclear regarding the platform. And overall, I think the censorship again is not on art. Like the nude art. Yes, there will be places which will accept it and places which will not accept it. But this happens with all the genres. If you go even with, you know, like cartoons, some galleries will accept it and some galleries will not accept it. So therefore, I think we need to find our relatable galleries and representatives and so on. And I know that NFT events at least are trying to host some nude art also. Like at every event, we see some curators which are booking, reserving a special gallery for this. Sometimes it can be bigger and sometimes it can be smaller. But I'm trying to look at it from a more positive kind of place, because until now we really had way less possibilities to share any kind of art, and especially nude art. And I think the censorship is mostly on something else. Again, it comes from the religious and social point of views. So I think the censorship is actually on the way we are living our life. It's not strictly on the art itself. The censorship is above this, if you ask me. Right? I mean, all the laws, all the like rules from whatever holy books and so on, which were not even valid until the church took over, right? So the censorship is on something else. It's the censorship is on expression in the end. Because even if you express a different political point of view, if you express a different religious point of view, you will still be banned, right? If you express any idea about your body's safety, you know, there are so many girls within the world in so many countries which, you know, are being abused even now, and nobody is speaking about that. That's again censorship. It's about health, it's about boundaries. So I think the topic is actually vast and we are just a tiny part of it. But I think it got better in here at least. Yes, we'll not see, you know, the enthusiasm will maybe not be absolutely public or displayed on super big screens in the center of the city, but that's because of the same factors that we mentioned earlier. It's not that people wouldn't enjoy it or would disapprove of it. It's still the governments and the rest of the powers which are censoring whatever they don't agree with, you know. So, yeah, that would be my take on this aspect. Thank you.
I mean, that was so, so deep thought. I think I even didn't think about it in this way. It was like, okay, wow. I need to think about it like deeper.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
Yeah, and apparently, you know, spaces still have their role. You guys keep going. And let us know when you organize next spaces.
Okay, thank you so much, Aida. And actually, like your two of you, like Maria and Aida's different point of view, because although we say that censorship doesn't really like apply on X anymore, basically people are just censoring what they don't like and stuff like that. I feel like Instagram still, like, I don't know about now with presently, but like I used to think that Instagram like outrightly censors or like remove nude art from Instagram. I don't know if that does that still happen. I don't know. Maybe one of you will be able to tell us. And do you think that Instagram limits you, like what you can post, limits what you can post, or limits how far you'd have grown right now if they did not limit you previously? If you can just help us.
I think they are removing whatever they sense as being nudity, but I mean, these platforms, again, I don't think they should be our unit measure, even if in a way they are, because they are like public platforms and we cannot share this. But yeah, I really don't know what to say about this. Because I'm just trying to work with what I have without making a fuss about things I cannot control yet. But I also don't have really, so to speak, like nude kind of shots. So my art is mostly passing on Instagram. But I have heard that many accounts, even if they didn't have sensitive shots, they were without any, you know, warning or yeah, anything like that. They were shut down, both Facebook and Instagram. But as there are no humans actually doing this manually, I think here again we are starting a different talk, right? Because who is analyzing this data? It's not us anymore. So it's a bit awkward, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this time the data is really kind of like being judged by AI or something, and sometimes it can see some content and it's not really about nudity or anything, but someone can just kind of like post something, but it can just flag you and put the person on another form of limitation. Yeah, it's really crazy. And just like what you said about some, you kind of like having some works, having that type of traction, about 2 million insights and everything. That's to do, yeah, it's really crazy, and it depends on different factors. So I wanted to kind of like ask, how do you draw the line between nudity as art and nudity as objectification? Yeah. I'll first like to kind of like start with, yeah, anyone can answer the question. Maria?
Yep, sure. For me, the lines, the difference is in intention. When I photograph nudity, I don't see just a body, I see a person, their story. And for me, it's about showing good honesty and soul. Objectification, on the other hand, takes away the depth and turns the body into something purely physical. And my goal is always to create work where people can feel the human being behind the skin. So, like, easy lines for me.
Thank you, Maria. Yeah, it's really interesting, and that's a very important take on it. Aida, would you like to go?
Yes, and before answering, this would be almost my last kind of question answer intervention. I will have to leave soon, if that's okay. Feel free to continue the space, of course, and maybe some other people want to come up. This is a difficult question, because again, we are facing the limitations we were educated by. But I have realized that these limits, they can shift. I mean, for example, I'm coming from a very intellectual environment in my family, like from grandparents, they are doctors and teachers. So imagine the shock that everyone had, you know, because I'm a teacher of basics too. So it was funny, I would say. It was not difficult because, okay, within an intellectual context, it's easier to understand some things. But when I saw my parents looking at my work, I could see that they are theoretically accepting it, but within themselves, there was a battle, you know? It's like, this is not okay. But on the other hand, they were like, but, you know, it's nice. I think slowly they kind of open to it. And then you run into the next limit, which is, where should we stop? Where is art and where it starts to be just sexual material, right? And it's very hard to draw a limit within some cases because of what you learned. Because even if you see a shoulder, you know, or a leg in some societies, that's already porn. So, but within myself, I think it really depends on the light you are portraying that topic and subject and object itself. It's about the gaze. It's about how you present it. Because it can even be, you know, there are entire books of breasts and penises and, you know, this kind of things. But I don't think that's actually sexual, right? It's about diversity. It's about the human body. It's about something else. So I think depends what's your aim and how you do it. Because it can be even the organ itself, right? Like, this is the reality. And it can be poetical, it can be mysterious, it can be beautiful even. And in the same time, it can be very impolite and vulgar and not okay, because you are encouraging the public to look at that person as a sexual object that you can own and abuse and destroy and have fun with, right? So I think it's our responsibility as artists, and we have to be very careful how we deliver this message, because we are educating everyone through our work. No matter if you are aware of that or not, whatever you put out there, even if it's generative art, even if it's your, I don't know, cup of coffee or, you know, nudity or a cat or whatever, your message will be seen by all the people that will see it and interact with. So you are unconsciously delivering something. You are encouraging people into that thing. Like, it's okay to drink coffee. It's okay to take off your clothes. So I think it has to be done, lots of education around the topic. It's the same with, you know, drinking alcohol, like a social thing, just, you know, enjoying some wine and so on, or getting wasted. So I think it's the same with the nudity. And this being said, thank you everyone for being here. I really, really appreciate the efforts, and I'm happy to see also my collectors within the space. Thank you all for being here, and my friends. And yeah, I'm looking forward, maybe, you know, in time we can continue this and go more in depth, and yeah. taking questions and wishing everyone a lovely day or evening.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to interview you for this episode. I really appreciate it, and I really enjoyed your take on this topic. It's been a really interesting topic. And just before you go, I just wanted to kind of just ask like one question, like, and it's really kind of like important, because I just wanted to know like how it's going to be if there wasn't any type of like censorship, if censorship did not exist at all, like what kind of art would you create that you can't right now?
As I said earlier, I don't really feel like I'm living under any kind of censorship. Because we live within bubbles somehow. I would just like to see more kindness within the world. I think there is some censorship regarding this, like the normal, beautiful interaction. But when it's about creating, I mean, everyone can really create whatever they want. You don't really need to show it. And when we show it, I'm sure that if you really want to show it, you will find ways to put it out there, right? So I do already create as if there is no censorship, as I don't really feel it myself. I mean, I live in Prague and like I have the support of people around me, and Czech culture is quite open to these things. So what you see is what you get. But of course, I'm looking forward to exploring more sides of my brain, soul, you know, interactions with people, and that I cannot answer. We'll just have to witness it together. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Aida.
Thank you, Aida, for joining this space. And it has actually been wonderful learning from you, learning about your experience. And I hope each and every one of us have been inspired to restore our self-images and show ourselves love. And treat people with kindness, basically. And it was wonderful learning from you once again, Aida. And I love the fact that you create as though there is no censorship, because I feel like the bubbles we create are like what's basically limiting us. And it would be wonderful if people get to go outside their own self-created bubbles, societal restriction, and just create what they want to create. So it's wonderful seeing that you're doing that while also restoring people's images. And it's one we hate to see you go, and but we've just loved having you here, and we hope to see you next time. And Maria, if you have anything to like add to if censorship did not exist, would love to hear that as well.
I think I agree with Aida's words, and I'm not sure it would really change what I create. I like to believe that my people will find me even with censorship. So, short answer for me.
Yeah, I really love that. Your people will find you, regardless of what you create. Yeah, thank you, Maria. Really appreciate your take on that as well.
I feel like Aida and Maria are like two superpowered women, because like what are all these quotes you guys are just dropping for us? Like Aida wants to change image. Why Maria said her people find her. I hope everybody in the audience is taking notes, because I feel like basically, that's the quote I'm going to live by from today on, because my people would find me is like a very overpowered quote. And I really loved that we had this space with you guys, because while me and Volkan were talking, and he was like, oh, he wanted to bring two amazing women on this space to talk about nudity and censorship. When I saw that he wanted to bring you guys on, I was so excited to hear what you guys had to share with us, because I've not really like met Maria in the space, but I've had like run-ins with Ida, so I've actually really looked up to her works. And I told Volkan that, Volkan, do you know this nude photographer Ida? That was like, and we were on the same wavelength. So I'm just really glad that this happened. And I don't know if anyone in the audience have like questions or like have something to input about nude photography. Please, only nude photography, and we'll just be taking the question now. So you can feel free to request. And Ida, I hope we don't take so much of your time. Thank you very much for coming, Mariatu. It was lovely having you here. So we'll be taking questions now, if there are any. I see fine arts requested, so I'm just going to accept now. Okay, fine arts, you can like introduce yourself and then input.
Hello, everybody. This is Fine Art Crypto, and I just have been following this conversation since for many years. I've been a fine art nude photographer since forever. We're talking years and years, and discussing. I have a actual presentation about the arts, the nude in the fine arts, which is, you know, kind of a recollection of information about all this going on in the arts and the nude and censorship now, even with AI, all the social media being AI controlled in some way, is just adding more limitations to the already. Most of you who are in Europe, like, you know, those the Czech countries, etc., that have way much more freedom, and nudity is more natural, more, you know, akin to human people. They don't have the many problems that are happening here in the U.S., where the religious groups going to extremes are, you know, making, you know, a lot of pressure into policies, political, you know, information and influence to block every kind, basically to assign the obscenity, pornography tax to almost everything that is being photographed. I think the in some way, the social media, I mean, the Web 2 and Web 3 elements, probably Twitter X in this case, has been a little more open to nudity than other channels, even though you can get, you know, completely, you know, blocked instantaneously with no explanation. Apparently, you know, Twitter is more lenient in that regard than other social media channels, Instagram, etc. But I think the religious influence is, like Aida or Maria were saying, it's a social situation. It's more of a cultural problem, because I think everything is like a massive lack of a healthy sex life. If you are living your life with a natural sexual life, you know, decent, healthy, with your couples, with your friends, whatever you do, you don't suffer from this sexual anorexia. You know, it's interesting. I have a phrase in my presentation that says that sexual anorexia is the same as sexual food. You are desperate for the things you are trying to block. Anorexics for food, food anorexics, they are all the time thinking about food. It's dramatic. And sexual anorexics are all the time thinking about sex. And the only reason for that is the lack of a decent, healthy, natural sex life that would, you know, sort out so many of their issues in regards to nudity. But then this calamity grows to levels, you know, that we're seeing the powerful influence of these people, the Christian radicals and all these groups, into the politics and policy for life, and the arts are being affected massively. I guess my work has been more accepted for galleries on IRL in real life than actual online. online venues, and but no, little few deals have been done online for me compared to what I do on actual galleries, and keeping, you know, the thing real with people who love the beauty of the body. There is no pornographic approach in the things we're trying to do. We're trying to show the beauty of human body, the way human women have advanced in society, have done so many amazing changes in their own freedoms, and it all manifested through the body in one way or the other. So it's a constant fight. I have become like an activist because of the same situation with censorship, just like Aida or Maria and many others here. So I invite everybody, you know, to keep pushing it, because we cannot let those people win, period. We cannot let the art be blocked only because they have sex problems in their personal lives. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm fine at. I feel like I'm not a nude photographer yet, but like I used to think that nude photographs are actually more accepted in Web3 and on the internet more than in real life. But it's like really nice to hear your opinion and hear that it's actually accepted where you are from in galleries in real life more than the Web3 space and online. So I don't know much about this. It's Maria, do you have anything to like input to what Fine Art there said? Because we are always open to learning more about nude photography and ways that it can always get better. So I don't know if anyone has anything to input on what Fine Art said. But I also feel like everyone should join in the fight to combat censorship, because not everybody understands how people are expressing themselves with nude photographs. People often, and I will not say generally people, just people that are narrow-minded or people that don't understand, they often see it as an expression of pornography. And I find it kind of funny. I will not say funny in an offensive way. I actually do not view it as a lack of sex activity or sexual activity. So that's actually another interesting perspective. So Maria, if you have anything to like say about this, would love to hear your opinion, or any other person.
I think that everything is in our like minds, the boundaries, and I think I'm agree about I'm sorry, I can't repeat, like if everything is okay in sexuality and blah blah blah, and I totally agree with that, because many people think that it's like something, no, I can, it's something like wrong, you're doing wrong, you are, I don't know, bad thing. And everything is because of society and in our minds, and we need to push new art as much as possible, just to show people that it can be different, and that everyone can try to be a model, to like try open to yourself something new. That just body, it's your body, it's natural body. There's nothing wrong with that. To take a picture, to be a model, like. I think I a little bit lost line of question.
Okay, I wanted to ask another question to Fine Art. Fine Art, so are you saying that nudity is accepted more in real life, like nudity art, than in the Web3 space or like online? Just for clarity.
Yes. Well, listen. At least the NFT platforms are open to receiving the images, the NFTs, and have them are available for sale, etc. And that's that part opened up a little extra space for nude artists to show their work, no doubt. But the when you want to promote or talk about your pieces, your work in the social media channels, then that's when you get the limitations. Instagram has become like a guillotine, you know, for these kind of things. Sometimes some images pass and go through with no problem. Some other artists are being blocked with no explanation, and it ends up being like a roulette. You don't know if what you're publishing is going to have this negative impact on your channel. And if you've been building, you know, a community, a group, then it's risky to, you know, to just to throw all that away for being, you know, to challenge the system by posting those images. That kind of risk level is annoying. It's almost childish. And at the end, with AI basically being the eventual judges at this point, the ones that are reviewing the work, it becomes very dehumanized. So, you know, when you go IRL and you meet with people, you talk to people in person, you know, the discussions, I mean, if they have no interest, they wouldn't let you arrive to the point of a meeting, for example. If you meet and you talk, I mean, there is already a level of acceptance in the type of work or the type of conversation you're going to have about art, which is different, you know, from what's happening unilaterally in social media, in the moment in which they can block you just because, with no explanation. They can even reinstate you back with no explanation, no apologies, no nothing. They just decided to, you know, put you back online. And these kind of situations, I think, is that the lack of human presence, the lack of human interaction, what brings the problem. Listen, the religious mix with the sexual thing is so dramatic that there is a dramatic statistic from Pornhub. I don't know if you know it. Pornhub is one of the largest pornography sites in the U.S. Their servers, the numbers that they have already registered, indicate that the largest consumers of online porn live in what is called the Bible Belt here in the U.S. The Bible Belt being some of the states, you know, from North Florida and some states in the center area of the United States, which are supposed to be the most religious ones, the most radically religious people. And those are the states where the largest amount of online porn is being consumed. So that's the irony about these people. That's the reason I allocate so much weight to the sex life part, the aspect of the sex life that makes them so, you know, completely fanatic against nudity. Thank you.
Thank you, Fine Art. That's a very important take about, and it goes down to the question of what I kind of asked Maria about art as listening and art as objectification, which she answered. So, yeah, I really appreciate your take on that.
Fine Art, it was really, really nice to see like an interesting perspective of nudity. And like Volkan said, also nudity as objectification, like we asked Maria. And well, I feel like it just boils down to the fact that everybody is doing what they can to make sure that nudity as an art is more acceptable in the society that we are in, because it's a long fight, and I don't think humanity has gotten there yet, but I feel like one day we'll eventually get there. And Kamzi, do you have anything to share with us? If you have anything to share, you can share now.
Hi, good day everybody. It's quite an interesting topic that's going on here, which is the topic of nudity. And I think for the longest since the world got so much into religion, nudity has always been existent in art. I mean, if we all agree, I'm a spiritual person, so if we all agree, if you're a spiritual person or if you're a religious person rather, and you agree that there is a divine being that created the world, you know that the first way we were created was without clothes. And my own way of seeing Nidita is that's like the way we were born and the way we're definitely going to leave this earth. And from time immemorial, artists have always had to work with nudity. I mean, when you go to art classes and you're being taught to sketch, one of the things you want to learn first in your art courses is how to sketch the human body in its natural form before learning to add clothes to it. So the whole, I think the whole idea to nudity being something that should be censored or something that should be frowned upon did not always exist until we started having people that became too religious. And also, for me personally, I like to say that if we can make art with the intention to get somebody angry or to provoke someone, right, to do something, or we make art with the intention to make someone cry or make someone feel something, right? Why is it bad when someone makes something to arouse somebody else or to arouse the viewer? I mean, if it is okay for us to make art that will make us feel sad, depressed, and the rest of that, why is it not okay for us to make works that would also arouse us? I mean, loss is also a feeling. So why are we shying away from it? And that's one of the things too I tend to examine when I talk about nude art. And I tell my friends that for me, nude art is not just about exploring forms and shapes and the rest like that. It's also about exploring the erotic part of life too, which is not even bad. I don't know since when, I don't know what started making us think that when there is a mention of the word eroticism, it's that automatically it is bad. And then a friend of mine asked me this question. He said, do you think that in this age and time, if Michelangelo sculpted someone's ass and kept it in a gallery, do you think it's going to sell for so much amount? And after so much deliberation on it, we found that truly it's going to actually like be called a masterpiece. And at the end of the day, you just see that it is the emerging creators or the emerging artists in the nude field that gets to like bear most of this whole, no, it is not something we should see. It is something that shouldn't be talked about. But yeah, aside from seeing nude art as the exploration of forms, shape, and also the way we came to this world, right? I also tend to see nude art too as also the exploration of the erotic side of humanity, right? And there was a question that was thrown, which is the difference between what's the line between objectification and using the body as a muse for the art. And for me personally, it was the way the question was answered is actually brilliant. I think at the end of the day, it's more of the treatment of the subject, how the intention, I think Maria said it's more of the intention, and I agree with her too. It's the intention behind it and also the treatment of subject. One of the most controversial paintings in the world is a painting called Madame X by John Singer Sargent. Was it John Singer Sargent? Yeah, I think that's his name. The painting was so controversial that the subject had to be, what was this thing called when you chase people away from the society? There's a word for it, I can't remember the word. But the person had to be, I think it's exiled, yes, exiled, yes, exactly. Had to be exiled from the society because people felt that the work was too erotic. And trust me, when you see, it's actually an erotic work, by the way, but when you see the work that you're looking at, the woman was actually clothed from top to bottom. The only thing that was off about it is the fact that one of her, one of the straps of her gown was brought down. And that was the most erotic thing. It caused so much loss that they had to like exile that woman from society. So at the end of the, and then you can, there's also a work, I can't remember who painted it. The title of the work is Love Locked Out. It was a nude painting of, what's the name of this baby that represents love? Cupid, yes. Cupid was banging at the door and he was crying. You could literally see, the vases, vase of flower broken. And when you read the story of how the work was painted, you would shed tears. And so when you look at these two paintings and you compare them side by side, one is a nude work in the term that the Cupid was actually naked there. And then the other one is a clothed woman, right? But based on the treatment of the subject, one is considered, the one with clothes is considered to be erotic, while the other one without clothes is actually considered to be a sad, a melancholic art, right? And this just goes on to prove the point that at the end of the day, it's more about the intention and the story behind what you're making than how much clothes does the person have on. Yeah, so that's my point and my take on nudity and nudity per se, not on censorship.
Thank you so much, Kamzi. And once again, I love that each and every one of the nude photographers here have different opinions and although it's different opinions, I would not say they vary from each other. And it's just like, it's basically, I would call it an eye-opener for each and every one of us here, especially us, we that are not like into nude photography. It's us just learning more about the world of nudity. And I also love the point that Kamzi said on it just being like how I like the part that he said that the person was exiled for just the gown hand, is it part of the gown breaking or something like that. And I just basically, in my own opinion or what I've learned basically, is that nudity just sums up to how we see it. People have different opinion of what nudity is basically. And I feel like it's just sometimes people feel like just showing a bit of skin is considered nude. And I feel like as the different artists here uses it as a mode of self-expression, it grows beyond being nudity and just being art and just being them giving nudity meaning that is so rightly deserved. And I low-key wish that we don't have as much constraints placed on nudity, because it's wonderful. And I feel like, as Kamzi rightly said, that if Michelangelo like painted an artwork or like molded a butt, it will sell for much. And I feel like, okay, after he said that, it got me thinking that, is it that the person that makes the art, is it that we view art differently based on who makes the art, or like will it be like more, will nudity be more acceptable right now if it was all those famous artists of the past, like if they were really into nudity, do you think that nudity will be like really really acceptable now? Can anyone answer? Like it's like a conversation, like if famous artists of the past come back today now and they are really super into nudity, do we think that nudity will be like accepted more than it is accepted right now? Kamzi, you can like feel free to like answer. Like,
okay, so personally, I don't think it's about I think it's about also who is painting, by the way. And it's not as regards to the artist, it's more like we human beings have these double standards for like a lot of things. So the thing that we would shy, the thing that most people are going to like shy away from saying, or the thing that they are going to cause art if it is someone that is growing doing it. When you're able to like break through that barrier, and now I'm speaking from my understanding as a nude artist in Lagos, Nigeria, right? Maybe it's quite different. When, I mean, Ada spoke about how it's quite different in Prague, being a nude artist. But being in Africa and deciding that what you want to do is to work with the human body, that's like another whole, war on its own. And yeah, I do feel that people would actually like accept it if it was like a big artist. Like let's not even go so far and start talking about Michelangelo. Let's talk about, say, Sloan or Arinze or all of this like top painters in Nigeria. If they are the one that were like painting Nibiti, like, yeah, sure. And as far as they're able to like, as far as they see that, oh my god, outsiders are like accepting it. And that's another thing about the art in this particular culture that I find myself. Again, I'm speaking from like a personal perspective, right? There is always this need for the big guys to accept these things first before then the people on the bottom be like, okay, if the big guys can accept it, which are like the galleries, if the big guys can accept it, okay, fine, that means you can go on with it. And that's where the whole double standards come in. So because these artists are already like big, if they are painting it, it's quite like, okay, they are big artists, so they really know what art is. And maybe this one is just on serious with his life. This particular one that is just growing is just on serious with his life. And that's how I view it. And that's what I most think is definitely going to like happen is grandmasters come back and then they start painting like just nude works. And again, they actually did paint like mostly nude works too back then. But yeah, that's my own take. I don't know if Finat has something else.
Finat, do you have anything to add?
Well, I think I may agree with many of the things he said. And the point is that the subjectivity is the real clue here. You know, the point that everybody, the reading that you make of any image is linked to your knowledge, to your culture, to your beliefs, to your fears, to everything, you know, that makes you. And then the interpretation of the work is gonna change from one person to the other a million times. So the artists, as artists, as creators, cannot be thinking about this. I mean, I have to work with the things that I love to do, and I only do it because I love, you know, what I'm achieving. And then people come and you can hear so many different interpretations. Some people think some images are creepy or mysterious or haunting. I did a work on flowers, and another photographer friend of mine told me that those images are the most erotic ones I have done. And there was no remote intention of being erotic while photographing flowers. So it's his, for me, it is his interpretation of the work, and I, you know, I have no control over that. So, you know, if probably you ask, when you're asking about famous people doing nudity, they have, I mean, well-known artists just involve nudity as the natural part of their work. And then it's being accepted as normal. And even at that, listen, here, I think the problem is the way people capture the image, how process the image. Because in a school here in the U.S., in the state of Florida, one mother make a formal protest that she was complaining that one teacher was showing the David, the Michelangelo statue, the David, in the school, and the teacher was expelled from the school only for showing the art of Michelangelo, the statue of David. So, you know, you have to have a very twisted mind to feel that that statue is pornographic. But, you know, that's the way she took it, and then she issued a complaint, and the professor who was showing that in classroom was expelled from his work. So there's no way you can control how people see the work that you're doing. If your intention, regardless of your intention, I mean, of course, if you're being explicit in showcasing the body, Well, there is an obvious intention of trying to be arousal, to arouse people towards an erotic feeling or something. But you know, most of us are being very careful not to be explicit, precisely because that's a simple way, a relatively simple way of separating what would be an homage to the body than compared to just showcasing, you know, a gynecological view of the body. So, you know, there's a very big difference between one approach and the other. And then the intention of the creator obviously has an impact on the viewer. But if you're not trying to be gynecological, then there is a secondary levels of readings, the different layers in the image that a lot of people just don't see it or don't believe in that or don't accept them. And the creator cannot control that. It's a matter of you doing whatever you love and showcasing it, you know, to the world and see how people react. You don't have no control whatsoever on how people see your work. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fine Art and Kamzi. Your insight to this space were like well received. We really love learning from you guys. You guys gave a different insights to nudity and to how it is received basically, and how people receive it based on who created basically. And I thank you guys for input into the space and like joining the space. And yeah, thank you so much for joining the space and contributing to it. And yeah, we've come to the end of Art on Frame Season 2, Episode 1, that talks about art, nudity and censorship. And I hope each and every one of you learned a lot from the different artists that spoke and had to contribute. And I hope we can all learn to love ourselves and take nude photographs of ourselves. And yeah, just keep expressing yourself. And I hope we see you next episode. Thank you so much, Faina. Thank you, Kamzi. Thank you, Aida. And thank you, Maria, for joining us. I'm still your co-host, Kafani, and the host is Volkan. Over to you, Volkan. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, everyone. And also, you can tune in the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anyway, listen to your podcast.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much for the space.